Well, Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, and we glorify you in the study of your word. We worship you, Lord Jesus, and we, Lord, we seek to learn what it is, Lord, that your will, Lord Jesus, the will that you would impart to us, Lord. Lord, we seek you and we cry out to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just ask and pray for your word to wash over our hearts tonight and fill us with your Holy Spirit with understanding, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our passage tonight starts in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. We're going to read through verse 6 here, and then we're going to go over it, and then we're going to be everywhere else. So we're going to have to keep our fingers nimble for page turning today. Colossians 4, 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." And these verses are actually pretty near and dear to my heart. These are the verses that the Lord has shown me to be my life verse in Colossians 4:2, and has called me to prayer. And more so within this last year, just to bear testimony what the Lord is doing with the last year, we're going to go over some of that as we get further into the study here tonight. But the continue earnestly in prayer and being vigilant in it with thanksgiving is the part that the Lord has placed on my heart and has called me to do what his word says and to be a prayer, to pray to the Lord continually, earnestly, and with thanksgiving. If we look at the word continue, we're just going to break it down here real quick. It's the continue in prayer part is to adhere to one, to be his adherent, or to be devoted or constant to one. And with that in mind, being focused on the Lord as we adhere to him in our prayers. You know, that continue isn't just a constant. That is included in that, but it is to adhere, to stick close to the Lord. And it really is that act of, I am devoted to the Lord in prayer. This is what I do. I am a prayer. To be steadfastly attentive unto, or to give unremitting care to a thing, to pray for those people around you, to continue in prayer, to persevere and to not faint. That's that not giving up when you pray. And we can see this in Scripture in Acts 1:14. It talks about how these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Again in Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Acts 6:4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Romans 12:12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So the word continuing is that devotion to the Lord, that continually praying to the Lord and giving supplication and interceding for others. And the prayer part is the prayer addressed to God, that, or actually in the Greek word here, it is that place set apart or suited for the offering of prayer. So it's not just that you talking to God, it's that place that you set aside to continue in, that place that you go to where you close the door to your prayer closet and you have direct communication with the Lord and to seek after him. Now, the word that the Lord's given me to bring to Calvary Chapel Grand Forks here is to that the Lord is calling us to pray. So as we are studying in Colossians 4 tonight, I just start thinking about, you know, Luke chapter 22, you know, when Jesus, it says in verse 39 here. Let's all turn there real quick, actually. That's Luke 22, verse 39. And as the Lord's calling us to watch and pray, you know, how better to understand what the Lord is talking about than to actually look at his example of his prayers. Verse 39. And it says, and he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from his prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So from this portion of scripture here, we can actually determine a few things from Jesus' prayers and his examples for us. And as that comes in, you know, he is praying and asking if the Lord will take this cup of the judgment of the world away from him. But nevertheless, not his will, but the Lord's will be done. Now, I'm just reminded of a story of a man named Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash was actually an intercessor who traveled with Charles Finney. If you are familiar with the story of the two revivals that happened during Charles Finney's lifetime, Daniel Nash was the guy who was sent in front of him. And the Lord used Daniel Nash's life and his biographies in my life this year to equip me for prayer. And as I determined, the Lord is calling me for prayer and calling Calvary Chapel Grand Forks. Just to share this story, you know, he stirred up the work of the Holy Spirit to wash over entire towns, entire cities. He would travel in front of Charles Finney and be there many weeks in advance of his revival meetings he was holding. And he would pray in earnest. And that's that continue earnestly in prayer. And Daniel Nash, one record says, actually from one of the books here, it says, on one occasion when I got to town to start a revival, this is Charles Finney, he says, a lady contacted me who ran a boarding house. She said, Brother Finney, do you know a Father Nash? He and two other men have been at my boarding house for the last 3 days, but they haven't eaten a bite of food. I opened the door and peeped in at them because I could hear them groaning, and I saw them down on their faces. They have been this way for 3 days, lying prostrate on the floor and groaning. I thought something awful must have happened to them. I was afraid to go in, and I didn't know what to do. Would you please come see about them? And Charles answers, he says, no, it isn't necessary, Finney replied. They just have a spirit of travail and prayer. And I think this reflects how Jesus is praying in the garden, and he prays more earnestly. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And in verse 45 of Luke 22, it says, and when he rose from prayer and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And you see, sleep can be dangerous. When I pray in the morning, I get up and I start to doze off. And, you know, sometimes it's worth it for me to pray out loud. It's worth it for me to actually vocalize what I am saying. Not only does it help me stay awake, it also helps me to remember what I'm praying. And with that in mind, I started this recently, journaling my prayers. And as I journal my prayers and actually write and take notes, you can recognize what the Lord has answered your prayers from in the future as you review your notes of what you prayed for and later on. And the Lord will speak to you through that. So I do encourage you to take notes while you pray and to pray continually. You know, that adherence to the Lord and steadfast prayer. So I'll just pose the question here, why pray? And the Lord puts it out. He says, lest you enter into temptation. You know, arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Why pray? We see in those verses in Luke 22 that the Lord imparts his will to you and not your own will. You know, the act of resisting the devil through prayer, the act of submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. That's James 4:7 that talks about that. You know, the submission to God through prayer is, you know, the instruction of God to his people is to pray. You know, he says, pray continually and watch in the same with thanksgiving. If you look at the King James Version of Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's not just being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, it's that watching. That vigilance is the act of looking for the Lord, the act of watching and actually seeking his will. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Another why pray answer. Why pray? The love of God through prayer is overwhelming. You think of the love of God that washes over those who you preach the gospel to, those who you are speaking to on a daily basis, as we pray for them. I just recently started this year, and I intend to continue to do this, is whenever I am speaking to someone, I want to pray and ask the Lord for what he would want me to say to them. And that actually comes from a Bible study I heard in May. And we're going to get to some of that actually later. I'm going to kind of recap that Bible study that I heard, because it was very instrumental in the Holy Spirit speaking into my life, and I want to share that with you guys as well. But the love of God through prayer is overwhelming, and it washes over the hearts and breaks up the fallow ground. So why pray? Because prayer breaks up the ground of the heart of the unbeliever. You know, I also have a praise report to share. We started in our interns program in Fargo, we have groups of three who are praying for three people apiece. So we have a list of 9 people who we are praying for. And we've been praying for these people daily for the past 8 months. September, 9 months. So during those 9 months, we have a week and a half ago, one of the people on my list actually prayed and asked the Lord into her heart. And she is the wife of one of the people in Fargo at the Calvary Chapel there. But the love of God through prayer is overwhelming. And the Lord took me to Psalm 4. And let's actually turn there. We're going to go to Psalm 4. And I'm just going to read what the Lord had showed me through this. And with Psalm 4. So I just recently had heard that she was saved and that she gave her life to the Lord. And that praise report, that the prayer is effective. Their prayer that breaks up the fallow ground of the heart. You know, God seeking for someone to pray for the children of Israel all of those years, just wondering if one person would stand and pray. I mean, think about the time when he spoke to Moses and Moses pleaded for the children of Israel. It's not that God wanted to restart with a new people. It's that he wanted someone to intercede for his people. And we're going to start in verse 3 of Psalm 4, it says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So I had heard about her salvation on a Saturday, and then Sunday morning we have a 9 a.m. prayer in Fargo. And the Lord gives me these verses that day and to stand in awe. So to stand in awe and glorify the Lord for the work that he has done in this young lady's heart to save her from sin, hell, and death, and the work that the Lord had washed over her heart. And turns out that the Lord used Charlie Kirk's death in her life and his testimony of finishing well and his testimony of believing in the Lord to change her heart and to wash over her. And you know, it's that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we're going to get to that verse in a little bit again, but I just wanted to reference it earlier. I'm just getting a little bit ahead of myself. So with that being said, I encourage you to pray for those close to you who have rejected the Lord. Don't put it down, the prayer. Don't say it's worthless. Don't say they're never going to be saved. Because, you know, even in my family, we prayed for my grandmother for probably about 18 years before she was saved. That was even well before I was born, my family started praying for her. And it wasn't until after my grandfather died that she accepted the Lord into her heart. And that also reminds me of another story. I like biographies. So George Mueller, with George Mueller, he was a prayer warrior. He was the one who prayed for those around him. He had a list of five people he prayed for. And I'm going to read the excerpt from his book here. But says, in November of 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. He says, I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land, on the sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the five was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second, and I prayed on for the other three. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the third was converted. I thanked God for the three and went on praying for the other two. These two remained unconverted. 36 years later, he wrote that the other two sons of one of Mueller's friends, those are the other two, were still not converted. He wrote, but I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. And now, in 1897, 52 years after he began to pray daily without interruption for these two men, they were finally converted, but it was after George Mueller's death. Mueller understood what Luke meant when he introduced the parable Jesus told about prayer, saying, and Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up, in Luke 18, verse 1. Before any of us were saved, it is highly likely that we had someone praying for us. And like I mentioned earlier, we prayed for my grandma for a very long time before she was saved. And there's a very high likelihood that you might be the person to pray for another to be saved. And that George Mueller testimony really kind of touched my heart to pray for those around me. And I started those lists of people I'm praying for. I have people at work I want to see in heaven with me. I have people that I meet at the store that I want to see in heaven with me. So redeeming the time. We're going to get there in just a little bit with the Colossians 4. But I also encourage you to have that prayer list, that list of people that you have to write down and to earnestly pray for them continually, and not to take intermission. You know, to pray daily for them and to intercede for them. That's what the Lord wants from you, to pray for them. And actually, this brings us to a topic. Real quick, one moment. I got a job for you, John. Real quick. Come on up here. I want you to hand one piece of paper out to everybody. Thank you. All right. So earlier this year in May, I was at a conference, a Bible conference, and one of the teachers brought a teaching on prayer, and it was called Targeted Prayer. And this is what the Lord used to kind of stir me up to pray for those around me, to pray for my family, to pray for my coworkers, to pray for the people who are in government and in charge over in the U.S. And the Lord really used those words that he spoke. And he used those words in my heart. And I just wanted to share those with you as well. It's by a writer named Mike McIntosh. And I'm going to read from his book. And if you're taking notes, we're going to actually create a target. So if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to use that piece of paper that we have there to create your target we're going to make. And this is something that you can take with you daily as you pray for those around you, as you pray and establish your prayer life in the Lord. And it's very interesting how he lays out the target. He starts with a dot in the center and he puts seven rings around it. In the first circle, let's see here. I'm actually going to read from his book. We're going to give a little precursor. It says, I am going to lay out some very simple steps. If you follow these steps as a Christian who reads the Bible and prays, who loves to see people saved and come to Jesus, who wants more with God, from God, and for God, then take notes and you will find the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the way he needs to speak to you. He will take what he knows you need to hear and enable you to understand it in your own language so that you can be blessed. And we're going to jump to the first circle, the bullseye. Now, that bullseye right there, write your name. And this represents praying for yourself, you know, that supplications that you'd pray to the Lord. It says, as you pray for yourself, confess your sins and ask for his help. He can give you more vision and insight. The more you pray, the more God can bless you and use you. And he goes on to say a few things that you might encounter when you're praying for yourself in this first circle. In the second circle, you're just going to write family. Pray for your family, all of them by memory. Pray for your mother, father, sons, daughters, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces. Just expand that family by memory, from the heart, to pray for them what the Holy Spirit would give you to pray. Praying in the Spirit. And he talks about his grandmother, how she was an intercessor, and how his mother became an intercessor, and that when his mother was praying at his church that he pastors, they were seeing 400 to 500 conversions every single week, people coming to Christ and receiving Christ in their heart. 400 to 500 a week. The power of prayer to break up that heart. So that's why I posed the question, why pray? Is the Lord wants us to pray for these people because they do not know the Lord and they need that washing of water by the word and that prayer that breaks up the fallow ground of the heart. In the third circle, write neighborhood. Pray for your neighborhood, both sides of where you live, across the street and all around. And he talks about how he goes on walks. I don't know about you, but I really like walks. I really like going on walks with Ruthie. It's a really fun time to go walking. But I also have a dog that I walk with as well. And it's really easy to kind of just keep your head down and keep walking or listen to music. But the Lord's kind of changed that for me recently is where I walk and now I pray. I walk and pray simultaneously. And then the Lord speaks to me when I go for a walk. And the Lord wants me to pray for those people around me. I have a target-rich environment in my neighborhood. You know, I have a lot of unsaved people who live around me. I have to my north side, I have neighbors that I know really, really well. To the south side, I have neighbors who don't talk to me. I have all these people who I can pray for. And then I have the homeless shelter a couple blocks away that I can pray for all the time. You know, I live very close to that target-rich environment. And in that fourth circle, we're going to put in for praying is pray for your city. And he talks about how when he first went to San Diego in 1974, he would drive all over the city. It's a huge area. There's San Diego City proper, San Diego County, which entails a desert going toward Arizona, a mountain range, and out of the mountains coming all the way up to the ocean, there's that beach community, and then there's the inland valley communities downtown San Diego. I mean, you think about it in Grand Forks. Like, take it in perspective. You mean you have University, you have 32nd, you have all these places you could drive around. I mean, Grand Forks is not a small town by any means. It's not a big city, but it's not a small town. There's plenty of people to pray for, and there's plenty of people here who are in the government to pray for. And then that's where we're going to get to. The fifth circle here is actually praying for your county. And he speaks about how when he was a pastor at Horizon, he would take his leaders to a huddle, kind of like a gateway for all the assisting pastors, elders, deacons, board members, and their families, and they would go to the desert and rent an inexpensive hotel. And they started with 8 or 10 leaders and grew to about 300 people, and they would go to pray. You know, they would learn the lay of the land, they would see what was going on, and they would just pray. They'd pray for the people around them. And then in the sixth circle, you're going to write a state. Be praying for your state. And he talks about how you think your state has problems. Can you imagine living in California? So, exactly. I'm very thankful that I live in North Dakota. But I also see the hurt in the people in North Dakota. I also see the ungodliness around us. And we live very close to these things. And so very important in that sixth circle to pray for your state. And in the seventh circle, you're going to pray for your country. And there's actually a website I'd like to share for you. It keeps up to date all of your state legislature, all your state government officials to pray for. It's called the United States Prayer Force. And I signed up just yesterday, actually, because I found it. It's actually one of Mike McIntosh's ministries he provides. Exactly. He sends an email out every day. And it's wonderful to have people sign up and to pray daily for those who are placed in government, that they would be saved, and for those who are saved, that they would be walking according to the will of God, because I see the U.S. declining. I have not lived long enough to see when it was really good, but I'm sure I will live long enough to see it decline more and more. So as we take it up, this ministry of prayer, to actually pray daily and continually, earnestly, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, to pray for the country. And as you work with these circles, like just like the family circle, just keep increasing those circles into more and more of what the Lord would have you pray for. So it doesn't have to be bound by a certain time limit. It doesn't have to be bound by a certain amount of names. Your prayers should be to the Lord by the Spirit for these people. And so why pray? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. So as you target your prayers, let's look at John 16. We'll get to our fullness of joy. John 16, verse 23. And this is all written in red. And it says, "And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." In verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, and so, I don't know about you guys, but when I have an answered prayer, my joy is actually restored. My joy is made full. So why pray? That your joy may be full. The fullness of joy from prayer. Actually, Tracy, you are answered prayer today. I asked for a visitor tonight. So that is actually answered prayer from the Lord. So my joy is filled to see a visitor tonight, because that's what I prayed for. And also with the salvation for the lady in Fargo, my joy was just filled because I prayed for 9 months for this woman to be saved, and the Lord granted that prayer. You know, the prayer is real. So it's not like you're just saying words into the air. That prayer to the Lord is not unanswered. Now, it could be a wait, it could be a no, or it could be a yes, but the Lord always answers those prayers. You know, that fullness of joy of asking, but James describes actually asking amiss and not receiving what you're asking for. So if you look at James 4, it says, verse 3, it says, "And you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And You know, God reveals his will to his friends. And that's where you won't ask amiss, is if you're asking according to God's will. And as you learn the character of Christ, this is why prayer and the word is so important. So as you pray, pray over the word as you read daily, and the Lord will reveal his will to you, because the Lord will not have his will outside of his character. Because the Lord is unchanging. We may change, and the Lord changes us, but he's unchanging. So as you learn his character and he imparts his will to you, you will know what to do, what to pray for, and you'll seek after him that way. And in John 15:15, he talks about how he reveals his will to his friends. It says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And if you're a friend of the world, you're at enmity with God. You won't be his friend. So that brings us to not being a friend of the world, and to die to self daily, to take up his cross and follow him in prayer, continuing earnestly and watching the same with thanksgiving. I was listening to a Bible teaching on prayer this week, just getting ready for this here. And he says that thanksgiving is a lubricant for more prayer. So as you thank the Lord, and to be thankful for everything the Lord has for you, for the trials he's placed in your life, to be thankful for the dog barking at 2 a.m. down the street and it wakes you up, you know, all that stuff. To be thankful for that, and that's the lubricant to pray for more, because when you thank the Lord and he restores what you have, and you realize all the blessings the Lord has given to you when you're thanking him, thank him for anything and everything. When you realize what the Lord has given to you, it frees you up to pray for others more, because you're not focusing on yourself. You will actually be able to pray more for the others around you. It's that lubricant for prayer. And it's also a command from the Lord. You think of Psalm 106, 107, 118, 136, you know, the verse that says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And his mercies are truly new every morning." And then let's jump to Colossians 4 again. And that's in verse 3. It says, "Meanwhile, praying also for us," and then he gets to specifics here. He says, "that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." And here we realize that, you know, God's the only one who can open and shut these doors. We talk about prayer that breaks open the ground of the hearts and actually allows the word of God to enter in, that allows the seed that has been planted to grow up in the Lord. Is that in Revelation 3:7, it talks about the angel of the church of Philadelphia, right? "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, he that shutteth and no man openeth." So God is the only one who can open and shut the doors. Your prayers, they're not empty. They shouldn't be empty. Your prayers should be detailed. Because Paul, he requests, he has a specific prayer request here when he's speaking to Colossae. He says that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. So that door that opens up. So why pray? For utterance of the gospel to be imparted to God's ministers. And an interesting fact about praying for other ministries. Pray for the ministries that you know of, that you're around with, because you then become a part of that ministry in praying for them, and your reward is in heaven. So as you think of those ministries around you, you pray for them. And that is what the Lord has for you, to pray for your family, to pray for your government, to pray for the ministries you are involved with, the ministries you've heard about, and you are directly ministering to the people in that ministry. And your reward is in heaven for that. In verse 4 of Colossians 4, it says, "that I make it manifest as I ought to speak." And then we are familiar with that verse about the Lord says in Mark 13, he says, "When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither what do you premeditate, but whatsoever you shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." And in John 12:49, it says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." So that goes back to when you're in a conversation with somebody, praying for what the Lord would have you to say to them. That word fitly spoken, like apples of gold and settings of silver. Now, I've just taken up from my pastor and my pastor's pastor have put this into practice to read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them. So every day we read one chapter of a proverb. And I believe it's the 22nd proverb. Talks about those apples of gold and settings of silver, that word that's fitly spoken. So pray for the Lord to impart that to you, to share the gospel, that the utterance of the gospel may go forth. And maybe it's from your lips, maybe it's you're praying for somebody you see sharing the gospel. I don't see that too often. Every once in a while, I work at McDonald's, I see a lot of people at drive through. So as they pull in, I've only received a gospel tract twice out of the 7 years I've worked there. And it is such a blessing to see that other people want to share the gospel. I also received a gospel tract at Walmart, and it is such a blessing to be able to encourage them that they are doing God's will in sharing the gospel. So to pray for those people who you encounter, that utterance of the gospel may go forth, that the Lord would open those doors, that the Lord would break the hearts of those people where the seed can enter in. And so that goes back to praying for the ministries as well, the evangelists that you see, the evangelists you know, because God has called some to be pastors, some evangelists, some prophets, some teachers. You know, he's called all these people, and to pray for those who are sharing the gospel and preaching the word. So continue to pray for them daily as well. Making supplications in the Spirit, and that's in Ephesians 6:18. I'll start from the beginning, 18 and 19 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Quite the cross-reference between Ephesians and Colossians. Same writer requesting the same prayer request for boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel, to preach the mystery of Christ, which is the gospel. So why pray? Another one, for healing. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults to one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So that prayer for healing. So what happens when a brother or sister in Christ comes up to you and says, "Hey, I had this sin that I just committed, and I'm confessing it to you because that's what I read in the Bible, and this is what I want to do because I want to do the Word of God." What do you do then? Do you say, don't do that? Or do you actually pray with them that they may be healed, that the Lord would restore them and to encourage them in the Lord and in the Word? You know, think about Psalm 32:5 says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Okay, and then in verse 5 in Colossians, it says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time." This is actually starts a new paragraph here. However, the Lord just led me to include 5 and 6 here. It starts the new paragraph, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." So why pray to redeem the time? You know, and there's another cross-reference in Ephesians 5:15. Says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." That prayer of worship to the Lord. You know, that's not just the prayer of interceding for another, not just the prayer of supplication for yourself, but the prayer of worship to the Lord, that when you are praying directly between you and God and you praise him for who he is and the edification that it brings to you, but not only that, but you are obeying God's commandments by worshiping the Lord. And then in verse 6 in Colossians 4 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And in Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And the Lord just says with that one, pray for what the Lord would give you to say. I know I've said that a few times tonight, but I think the Lord really wants to make that a point, really, is when you are speaking with somebody and asking the Lord. Mike McIntosh, in his book, he talks about how targeted prayer, he talks about how he was in an interview with Billy Graham, and his event coordinator, who sets up all his interviews, says, don't tell him about your ministry, because what you do all over the world, because he hears that all the time. So he's like, okay, got it. And he goes to Billy Graham, and the first thing Billy Graham asks him is, so tell me about your ministry. And he looks around, and he's like, what do I say? Because I just got told not to talk about my ministry. And so he tells him about his ministry, and he asks if he would have what he thought about the ministry. He says, well, I've actually been praying for you. He's like, you've been praying for me? He said, yeah, I've been praying for you as we've been speaking. And then he gives him the word that the Lord would say in that moment by the Holy Spirit that would give in part to Mike the will of God for what he is to do. And, you know, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. You know, Paul's talking to the believers here. He's not talking about how you may answer the unbeliever. He's telling them to have grace in their speech, seasoned with salt. And then in Psalm 27:4, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So just put this kind of before you guys to make this your desire to pray and to inquire of the Lord and to understand his will. Redeeming the time. So then the last question here is, why not pray? You know, there's no reason to not pray. Pray continually and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So with that, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, may we leave here more on fire for you, Lord Jesus, tonight, and strengthen our prayer lives, Lord. Strengthen our lives to intercede for our coworkers, Lord, to intercede for the grocery store clerk, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the work that you do in our lives. And Lord, impart to us your will and give us those words that you would have us to say to those around us, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you tonight. And we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.